You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram. Maybe you're listening later on the podcast platform of your choice. Wherever you're watching or listening, it's all good. And it's also the beginning of the month. And you know what happens at the beginning of the month. Usually we try to do this on the first show of the month. It doesn't always work out that way. But on the first show of the month, we read off the names of folks who support us on Patreon at the $5 and up level as a little thank you. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. So let's kick it off with Aaron C. Hollis.
Adam DeRose.
Adam Marks.
Adriel Moreland.
Alana Fondo.
Andrew Primo.
Andrew Tillman.
Beer Cat, PhD.
Bradley Hanson.
Carrie Matthews.
Chad Brickett.
Christina Jaramillo.
Christina Rensfield.
Chris Tara Lizzie.
Clemens Luer.
Corey Chicheri.
Corey Smoker.
Dan Snow.
Daniel Cabral.
Daniel Fuentes.
And rounding out the Dan block with Danny Heck.
Let's kick it into the David block with David Donaldson, and that's it for the David block.
Debbie Gloom.
Dennis Scott.
Derek Mainhart.
Doug Sodawaite.
Dylan LJ.
Eduardo Martinez.
Emmett Quish.
Enrique Chumbas.
Gerard DeVilliers.
Ian Rainey.
Ian Thomas.
Isaac Carter.
Jack Forster.
Jake Fry.
James Connolly.
Jared Sloan.
Jaron Townsend.
Jason Donahue.
Jeffrey Whaley.
Joe Benton.
Joey Groh.
John Henderson.
Jonathan Jong.
Jonathan McCool.
Josh Wright.
Joshua Loyo.
Joshua W. Broxson.
Joshua Wiggler.
Kelby.
Kevin Clyde Rock.
Kieran Broderick.
Cody Thomas.
Lance Kaminsky.
Luana Thomas.
Lucas Sink.
Matt Tice.
Matthew C. Hernandez.
Matthew DePalma.
Matthew Schofield.
Michael Magalov.
Michael Tillman.
Nathan Hall.
Nelson Kelso Martinez.
Nick G.
Nick Drayson.
Official CPG Chef. Brett.
Uh-oh. Omnia Soul Art. That's the one you know, Pete. Omnia Soul Art.
Orin Dix.
Otis Larson.
Pedro A. Rangel.
Provocative Ambulance.
Rev Mikey.
Robert Pettinato.
Ron Hood.
Roxanne Tyler.
Play Cool. Sarah Schottmuller.
Sarah Schaefer.
Scott Carpenter.
Scott England.
Severin.
Stanley.
Taylor Bryan.
The Big Flood.
The 12 Banch.
Troy Molyneux.
Victor Perez.
Will Buchanan.
Will Diaz.
William Leach.
Zachary Bachman.
And let's not forget Zika's Viral Comics. Wow, what a rundown. I think there were zero mistakes as per year. That was honestly one of the better reads.
That really was.
Nope.
And for all of you out there, if you would like to support your Patreon, our Patreon, patreon.com/comicbookclub, levels start at $2 a month. That you can actually get 2 months free if you pledge annually. And you get access to our back catalog going all the way back to 2011. That's thousands of podcasts, many of which aren't online. You get access to our Discord where you can chat about stuff all day long. And we're having a lovely time.
And we do chat.
We do chat. There is chatting that's happening and many other rewards from there. So again, patreon.com/comicbookclub if you would like to support the show. And folks, we have a great guest for you this evening. He is the creator of Blocked, from Maverick, an imprint of Mad Cave Studios. It's on sale today, I believe. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Hawkins. Brian, welcome.
Hey, welcome. Hey.
Thanks for having me, guys.
First of all, thank you for coming out on your book birthday. Have you been having a good birthday? Did you blow out the candles? What did you do?
Oh, man, I have not had a chance to blow out the candles, but I spent a lot of time just in the classroom. I'm also an English 8th grade teacher, so...
Oh, wow, cool.
Just been busy, you know, and then my son had a middle school basketball game, so...
Oh, wow.
Do your students know that you have a graphic novel out today, or are you keeping that part of your life hidden?
So a couple of my students know because my best friend from college actually works at the same school I do, and so he knows, so he told a couple of our students. They don't know yet, but I'll break the news to them somehow.
I'm selling them out in the other side.
And were they cool and supportive about it, as teens usually are?
Yeah, yeah. You're like, Hawkins, I'm gonna get your book, man. I'm like, all right. Thank you. I'm actually working on some things. The dean of students is actually going to buy the 8th grade all copies of it. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool.
Well, awesome. It fits that you are a teacher because your book is also set in a school. Blocked is set around a high school basketball team and the drama that happens around it. But part of the drama is that a lot of them are werewolves called shifters in the books, which is a very Teen Wolf style scenario, but very apt up in drama. I assume at some point in the process, Teen Wolf came up. Was it towards the beginning and then kind of figuring out a more realistic way of treating it, or was it just kind of parallel to the process?
Yeah, so I love Teen Wolf. I grew up, not the TV show, but the Michael J. Fox movie.
Right. Yes, of course.
You know, I was born 1978, so
all right.
I'm of age here, right? And so I loved Teen Wolf. And so when I was coming out with the concept for Blocked, I knew it had the comparison. It was there in my mind, but I also knew that it wasn't going to be necessarily a comedy, that it was going to be more of a drama. So from that point on, you know, it was about how was this shifter world, was going to exist in a dramatic fashion.
And just to mention, for anybody who doesn't know out there, Teen Wolf, famously written by Jeff Loeb, comic book writer. This is not a joke for anybody.
How about that?
Yeah.
So there you go. So he went from that to comic books, and now you're bringing it back to comic books.
There we
go.
The universe has a plan, I guess, right?
Yeah. So you have, like you said, it's a more dramatic take on werewolves and the whole concept here. The other thing that you're dealing with, though, that brings a lot of the drama is you're dealing with anxiety, you're dealing with pressure from a parent, you're dealing with peer pressure as well. I imagine, again, this goes back at least to part of your teaching background, but why was this important to you?
So, for a lot of reasons. My son, actually, you know, he's a basketball player. And I really thought about, you know, the basketball community, the sports community in general, you know, there's a lot of, it's very high strung. There's a lot of, pressure. And I wanted, in going into that with my son, because I love basketball, I wanted it to be where he discovered basketball for himself. So I never pushed sports on him. One day he came home, he was like, you know, I really like basketball. He was like, you know, and
you're like,
I'm like, cool. I've been waiting for this moment.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you know,
finally.
Fourth, fifth grade. And so I knew that I wanted my approach to be, this is your walk, your journey, not mine, but I want to be there to help you where I can. And so to counter that, you know, I could have been the kind of person or father where I was going to say, this is how it has to be, you know, be overbearing, push him in a certain direction, become more of the trainer than the parent. And I've seen that. And so for me, Blocked really has a lot of those components where the child or the kid, the teenager, is really living out the parents' dream. And so the pressure of that kid, that basketball player, has to go through because he is now losing, you know, his own life, his own path, his own individualism. And I really wanted to draw that out in Blocked, because it can be damaging. So Cam's father's that person. He's overbearing. And Cam has a legacy that he needs to uphold because Cam's dad played basketball, local star. Didn't go pro, but local star. And he's also a werewolf shifter. So he has it twofold. You're a werewolf shifter and you're a basketball player. You need to be like me. So that's where the drama really begins.
And what we know from Teen Wolf is being a part werewolf helps you in basketball, makes you a great basketball player. So
absolutely. And that's what his dad wants. You know, his dad wants him to use what he can, you know, take the advantage, take the edge. But he's struggling because he's trying to figure out who he really is.
It's interesting to hear you talk about all of this, and not to get too personal about it, but it sounds like basically you're taking your fear of what you were hoping you didn't do and then putting it in a certain way into the father character here, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Spot on. Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, wow. Man.
Great. That's $60 for the hour, and then I think we're good to go.
I had a question specifically about the comic book form. Mm-hmm. We get the question a lot, or I guess recently, what are some of your favorite sports comics? And there aren't a ton. How did it feel? Like, did you draw on any other comics when you were first thinking about this? And what was it like to bring sports into comics?
So it's interesting because I was very fortunate. I met up with Ignacio, we did an anthology together with Orange Cone Productions, which is Travis Gibb, and you know, we really hit it off. And so when I came to him with this idea, I'm like, you know, let's picture the Mad Cave, you know, he was all for it. And I love his art style. So I was really salivating at, like, you know, this is really gonna look cool, I bet. You know, I knew it is. So the interesting thing is, the only sport comic I could really, really think about, there were two. Oh, man. Hang on. Jason Aaron wrote one, Southern Bastards.
Right.
And the one, it was very brief, set in the future. I think it was called Mara. It was with Image, and it was really, like, I think she played volleyball, but she was they had heightened powers. So those were the two that I thought of. But I knew that with basketball that I wanted it to be grounded more while at the same time, you know, delve into that supernatural with the werewolf. So I had those in mind, but I didn't really, like you said, you know, there's not a whole lot of sports.
Yeah.
Comic books. So,
and it's weird because I would think that sports, there's a lot of action, it's dynamic, it feels like a natural fit, but for some reason, like, why do you think it hasn't been such a thing?
You know, I think it's finding the right balance of story, because I think that in sports, like, you know, whatever sports that we watch in real life, there's entertainment in it in itself, right? But how do you take the entertainment that's in sports and make it work with the drama and the action that's needed to draw the readers in, you know, as far as investment, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, a lot of comics, the superhero comics, are action packed. So when you think of comics, you think of action, but you have to have the right kind of balance for action, for character investment. And it's, how do you get that with sports? And I forgot World Class. World Class is actually a book that's on Maverick as well, which I definitely enjoyed. And I did some editing on that. So, Yeah.
One of the things that I was really impressed with the arc of the book is the very gradual reveal of the wolf nature of everybody. Mm-hmm. Not only do you sit in the drama for a while at the beginning, but it's piece by piece by piece. And I won't ruin where it goes or anything like that, but there's a lot more of it that happens as it goes along. So from the writing perspective, how cognizant were you of that arc when you were crafting this?
I would say very. So my writing process includes that initial concept log line. And from there, I look at the summary or the synopsis of it. And after that synopsis, I'm doing a character sheet. So I kind of take myself through the same process for any project. And so after the character sheet, it's the outline. And the way that I do my outlines, I break it down by the page, then by how many panels I think are going to be on each page and what's happening in the panels. So before I even began to write the story, I have the full 10 chapters with the outline, with the pages, with the panels. So I really know the story before I even start scripting. Mm-hmm. So, and it's there where, that becomes the blueprint. But one of the things I love so much about storytelling is that once you get into the script and start telling the story now, it really begins to have a life of its own. And so while a lot of what was on the outline is there and it's the structure of the story, Cam, Liza, Rocio, Coach Castle, his dad, they all begin to speak and they all kind of begin to dictate, how this story is actually going to go. So I try to listen to that and not, if it needs to deviate some, then I just let it deviate.
Yeah. One of the things I'm wondering is, if I'm one of your students, I'm going to buy this thing and look for me in it. Did you have to specifically, make sure you didn't make anybody look like one of your students or have a similar story?
I didn't mention this beginning. He teaches a class of basketball playing werewolves. So it's actually pretty much a one-to-one.
There you go.
Hard to avoid, really.
Yeah. It really is. That was the secret sauce right there. Yeah.
Documentary.
There you go. So I wouldn't say that I have any other students that Ignacio. So the great part about this is, he is a fabulous collaborator. And so while, all that pre-writing was there and the scripting was there, there's a huge part of time where, we're really just talking about it and we're, going back and forth over concepts and what this look like, what would that look like. And so Ignacio, I sent in a character sheet and the character sheet, has descriptions on there, but then I also add images of, maybe famous people, maybe not so famous people, just how I think they could look. And from there he builds it and, does his thing with the art and adds his flavor to it. So the characters, as far as how they look, is really are, his creation meshed with some of the things that I provided to influence or inspire. However, I will say this. The main character, Cam, is biracial. His dad is white. Even though his mom is not in this story, she's black. And so one of the reasons why I wanted him to be biracial is because, I don't really recall a whole lot of comics and graphic novels where, the main character is biracial. That also ties into my son, who is also biracial. So I wanted the main character to kind of not be him, but, it definitely has his influence. So when he got the book or when he reads the book, he will see someone that looks like him.
That's cool. Awesome. I want to ask you about the art real quick. And it has sort of a retro, sleek design, a little bit of pointillism and stuff with a lot of dots in the background and whatnot. Was that there from the jump, or did you develop that? Was that all Ignacio? Like, how did
that's all Ignacio. His wow. brilliance and his genius. Yeah,
I love it. It's so clean. It really it makes it pop. So
yeah, it really does.
I love it too. I really do. Yes, I do. So I'm a fan.
I'm a fan. Something we've been talking about on the show, I think quite a bit over the past couple of weeks, is the big moves that Mad Cave Studios has been making. Yes. It feels like they've been really, not to use the sports term, but like stepping up their game in a big way. So what is it about the publisher for you that you like? What was it like working with them, and what was important? What was different about them as a publisher?
So one of the really cool things is I actually met Mad Cave in 2016 was might have been 2015. Either way, so I actually met them and began working with them as an editor. So I was very fortunate to work on a lot of their earlier titles as they were just about to go into Diamond, and then from there, you know, they began to grow, and I got to work on more stuff, and then they, you know, they eventually launched Maverick, and I got to work on some of those titles as an editor. So it was really cool. And so we've built this family kind of relationship, you know, Mark, Chris, all of them. And then Mike came over from Aftershock, and I knew Mike from Aftershock because of the, a horror book that I did over there. And Chaz. And so, you know, it's been family since, you know, they brought me on as an editor, and it continues to be like family. As far as the process goes, you know, there's not a more professional group of people, and more loving. I mean, that's honestly, and I'm not even, you know, sugarcoating or hyping this up at all. You know, they are really good people, and they really love the industry, and they love storytelling, and they love working with creators. And I got to experience that on the side of where I was an editor. And now I'm receiving it, you know, as creator and writer. So it's really cool. It's amazing.
We got a question here in the comments on YouTube. Derek wants to know, how do you balance being a teacher, a father, and a comic book creator?
Oh, man, I don't know if what I do is balanced or not.
I was going to say, the answer is, speaking in a similar, I'm solo parenting for the last like month. I'm like, I'm not balancing anything. I'm like, I'm surviving.
And there you go. There you go. I what I am doing, whether it's balancing or not, I will call it managing. I really am trying to manage my time. And so, like, you know, a lot of times weekends are weekends. With school, you know, there's early mornings because I try to work out too. So I got that to throw in. I try to get a little basketball training in for myself every now and then. So
that's research. That's book research.
Exactly. I was trying to write it off on my taxes, but it doesn't work.
Give it a shot. It's loose.
Right? So
anything goes.
It seems like it. So what I try to do is make sure that if it's family time, then it's family time. If it's, you know, work time, then it's work time, which means I'm either writing early or I'm writing during my planning sometimes if I've gotten all my schoolwork done, or I'm writing late at night. So it really depends on what that week looks like and how I need to organize that week. So I do try to organize, and I do try to manage. Whether or not I'm balancing is still for grabs.
Yeah. If we real quick could get some of your students or your son on to comment on this specifically, I think that would be really kind of like as a counterpoint.
Right. Unfortunately, no one's here but me.
Great answer. Okay, great. I will say you seem pretty chill about it. So that's a great sign for successful balancing.
Thank you.
Now, maybe I'm misremembering, but you did say something when you were talking about this where you said this is one of the stories. Do you have more stories in this world of Blocked?
I do. You know, Ignacio and I have talked about book two. And, you know, so hopefully book one does well. You know, there are parts in book one where, you know, it can lead you to think like, huh, is there going to be more to this? And those are there on purpose. The idea was to have a larger shifter world, and how that shifter world would be revealed. And the ending of this book sets up for the larger shifter world to hopefully
exist. Awesome. Well, Brian, very cool. Book is great. Happy book birthday to you.
Yeah.
Please go enjoy the rest of it. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys so much. This has been great.
Take care of yourself, Ben.
Bye.
Good luck out there.
All right, there we go. Once again, the book is called Blocked. It's from Maverick, an imprint of Mad Cave Studios. It is out today in stores everywhere. Go pick it up, whether you write sports, shifters, comics, or
Teen Wolf fan.
There you go.
There's Jeff Loeb. A magic blend
if you are
of
specifically Jeff Loeb, pick it up.
Oh, yeah. That's a good call.
We're always shouting out Jeff's reading list.
Yes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
100%, and we are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions.
All right.
And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, maybe Instagram, and we will get to it. But in the meantime, what you guys drinking tonight? I know Brett had a call for Micheladas for next week.
Michelada,
is that how you say it? It's not Micheladas?
I believe it's not Michelob, unless you're using a Michelob.
I always use Michelob.
Yeah, he does. Zalbatron's a huge
Low run bet. For the mountains, champagne and beers. I don't remember.
No,
run for the mountains. Is that what you just said? You think one of the sayings is run for the mountains?
Yeah.
Run for the mountains.
Run for the mountains. Because the mountains can't run, so you got to run for the mountains. For
Run for the mountains because the mountains can't run.
That's, exactly.
It is funny that their slogan would be like, escape reality. But you're talking about champagne and beers. You're talking about Miller High.
There he is. Yes, I saw that. Congratulations.
Brett was saying, Michelada, great Bev, to especially on a
what is
start
it?
The day. It's like sort of easy way to say it's like a Bloody Mary meets a beer.
And usually they put the beer upside down in the Bloody Mary, right?
What are you, Dallas barbecue?
Always. Yeah.
Always.
No wonder you don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, it's as big as two heads, or how do they serve it? And Pete, can you park a car in what you're drinking tonight?
I do have a garage beer.
Ah, oh, there we go. We've got a couple of audience questions.
Real quick, though, we've never really dived any deeper on this. What does it taste like, garage beer? You like, would it give us a little bit more insight here? It sounds like you make it.
No, it's a nice, I would say like, it's a nice flavor where it's not like a Bud Light, even though it's a light beer. You know what I mean? Like it's got a richer flavor, but not too much where you're like, oh, this is overpowering. It's kind of a refreshing beer has a little complexity to it, but not too much. So it's nice. It's enjoyable. It's crisp.
You know that liquid that comes out of your tailpipe on like a very cold day? That's how they make it, actually.
Nice. You talk about diarrhea?
Yep. Joey Groa says, you're an editor at Marvel or DC and you're planning your summer annuals. What route are you going to take? One big crossover? Every comic doing its own thing? A common theme?
I love this question. And my answer is one that I have given before. I miss the days where it was like three characters or books would cross over. It would be people like unlikely pairings. And that to me was like, it felt special. You got the extra pages. I'm talking about like the Vibranium Vendetta. I'm talking about the Ultimate Nullifier crossover, the Korvac Saga it was called. Like all those books that, those annuals that crossed over and felt super unique.
Every comic doing its own thing.
Oh, okay, why?
Nothing special, you're saying.
But no, I like big crossover events, but it'd also be nice to take a little break from it and just be able to get into a comic and enjoy that ride for a little while and just chill for a year. You know what I mean? Maybe take a year off or something.
I am going to agree with Justin on this one. I think it weirds me out that they're just... Sure, we're just doing an exercise issue at no particular time of the year. Like, annuals come out whenever or over the course of most of the year. Sometimes they're a continuation of the current storyline. Sometimes they're a done in one to try out a new writer. They're all over the place. But the recent Infinity Watch crossover that Marvel did, that was great. I didn't love all of those issues, but that's okay. It was exactly what you're saying. They took one of those Infinity Watch members, paired them up with a character from the title, gave an adventure. If you didn't like it, you could check out the next one. Most of them were pretty good and pretty fun. And that's what I want to see. It makes it feel like, yep, we're trying something big. And to Pete's point, yes, it was setting up this Infinity Watch title that it was spinning out of it. But at the same time, it was its own thing. It wasn't like messing up what's going on in Avengers or X-Men or anything like that. It was just telling its own story. And I think
that's we good. Also all equally enjoyed the Blood Hunt and thought that was a fun crossover.
Yeah, event. You couldn't find not any an different annual. Opinions. Not an annual. And we definitely didn't all equally enjoy it.
I think we all equally said it was the greatest.
Can we reveal on the show something, Pete, you're going to get very mad about?
Well, then let's not. Then let's not.
All right, fair enough. I guess we'll see if it comes up in the questions. We got a bunch of questions here about the Fantastic Four trailer, All in the Game. Asked about trailer thoughts. Easy Reader says, what do you think of the Fantastic Four trailer, and who's the old guy that appears in the trailer? Have you guys watched the trailer yet?
Of course I
Pete?
Have.
Yeah, I watched it.
Why are you mad?
Well, you don't like the Fantastic Four exactly. Because you don't like Reed Richards. Do you like Pedro Pascal, though?
Yeah, he's great.
So he's Reed Richards now.
We didn't see him stretching in the trailer.
Maybe I'm sure it looks great. I'm sure they're holding off on it. Like, they're waiting to blow everybody's mind with the cool stretching effects of Mr. Fantastic.
You know all the stretch heads out there who love to see characters stretch are waiting for that laugh.
I honestly have never seen a movie where stretching effects look bad. Like, not one.
Yeah.
They always look just chef's kiss. What did you guys think? What did you think of the trailer? And who is the old man, Justin?
I liked the trailer a lot. I feel like it has deliberate design choices that aren't just, let's go with what we've always done before. That's exciting. The retro, the period stuff, all very cool. It creates a vibe. That's why people make movies specific and not just a general movie style. So across the board, it made me excited. I like that it was also like just some chill moments. It wasn't all like pushing.
Oh, cool. Chill moments.
Like, we get to see Ben
just hanging out, you know, trying food. Yeah, just like, delicious.
It's great.
Yeah.
Why are you mad?
I'm just saying, I think it would be great to, like, go to a movie theater and just see other people just hanging out, you know what I mean, not doing anything. I think it would be fun.
Well, that's what they see, the people on the other side of the screen, so why not throw it back at them?
Oh man, yeah. Then nobody's doing anything. You know?
Do
what
you
mean?
Ever think about great that? Sometimes time. All the people in the movie are like, "Who the fuck are these people just sitting there and watching you? What yeah, the I fuck keep, is happening?"
I was when I was watching Nosferatu, he kept turning, stopping the action, saying, "Shh, stop, get off your phone." To me, in the movie,
oh, yeah. Geez. That I know that feeling.
And you were like, no, I gotta stream this to TikTok, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this is important what I'm doing.
You are the worst in movie theaters, man.
Wait, who is the old man, though? This is John Malkovich's character who shows up.
Oh. I mean, don't we think it's Puppet Master?
Yeah, probably.
Mr. Crothers, and he would have got away for it if it wasn't for those pesky kids.
It could be that as well. There's a bunch of theories online beforehand. I mean, this is certainly what I thought, but I think this was like the majority thought as well, so I'm not going to take credit for it, was that he is Puppet Master, Natasha Lyonne is Alicia Masters, and we get a whole Ben and Alicia dating thing, and that makes total sense to me. But love I think it. Once he showed up, random shot in a crazy beard, people were like, oh, maybe he's Red Ghost, the guy who controls apes, which
not,
sounds
a villain
bonkers.
I've been like, this guy's boring. This is not a villain.
He shows up with his three apes, and then
that's all you need.
That's all you got.
It's three.
I'll throw out, I don't think this is accurate, but this
I know what you're going to say, Alex, and it is not.
As soon as I saw the crazy beard, I immediately flashed back to the classic John Byrne issues where Franklin Richards loses control of his nascent powers and suddenly ages up to a bearded, crazy old skinny man who's choking out a human torch. I thought, I don't know, that might be interesting because like this ties into my other theory is that I think it's called Fantastic Four First Steps because Reed and Sue just had Franklin, or Franklin is like about to be a toddler. And so they're a family who is superheroes. It's established. And now for the first time, they're dealing with like, okay, we have a kid. And what does that mean?
Very well could be that. I mean, first steps on the moon, a little more period. That could be a combination. I mean, if the movie's about Franklin, then maybe you are right. But I just think your theory is a wild swing.
It's too complicated and probably adds too many things onto the Galactus of it all. So that's why I don't believe it. I tend to think, no, he's probably just Puppet Master with a beard. And that's fine. But I guess we'll see. Pete, you didn't like the trailer.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, I just...
You're seething with anger.
Well, it's checking the wrong boxes for me. I think the actors are great, but I don't want to see a group of people that I don't enjoy then, like, back in time. That makes me less excited. And then just them standing around trying food and talking to a robot about food, that doesn't make any sense to me.
That's the whole movie.
Yeah, so
have you seen The Bear? It's like that, but he has rocks.
Same
now.
Guy.
Yeah, same guy.
And those reel-to-reel eyes make me mad.
That was my favorite part of the trailer was Herbie, I got to say.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Herbie fully loaded?
Yeah.
I like Ben Grimm's uniform. Let me throw another thing. Now I was really down on your theory, Alex, but now I'm thinking about it more. They will need to have the Fantastic Four be in the present day eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't Franklin be old now if he was
maybe
born in the 60s?
That's possible. I think this is getting way too far afield, but and too many theories at the same time, but I think like this is probably the same universe where Robert Downey Jr.'s Dr. Doom comes from, right? And if we're assuming they're going to do some version of the Jonathan Hickman Asad Ramesh Secret Wars, we're probably going to get incursions from the multiverse. So I think we're going to get this like 1960s retro futuristic Fantastic Four universe smashing into the MCU, smashing into the X-Men universe, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how we get them together. So I don't think there's necessarily going to be time travel, but I could be wrong. I mean, I'll throw out the other theory that I saw online, which also potentially makes sense for John Malkovich, is not Franklin Richards, but Nathaniel Richards, the father of Reed. So
that could also be, I mean, but we're not going to see Doom in this movie. I don't
post-credit.
Think.
Post-credit scene.
You think? 100%?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
I would stake my life on it.
Wow. Alex.
Wow. No, they're absolutely going to do like an end credit scene of Doom. I don't know if we'll see Robert Downey Jr.
I was going to say, not Downey, though.
Yeah, they can't pay for that. They don't gonna afford that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'll have Dr. Doom, and then that'll set up, get people super psyched for Doomsday, which at this point is like the next one, right?
Is it? No.
Yeah. I think it's coming up in 2026.
Wow. That's the next big one. There's got to be
That's the next one that we know about. They haven't actually revealed anything else.
There has to be more characters involved.
Nope.
You can't have a massive Endgame style crossover with just the Fantastic Four and a couple of Thunderbolts.
Let them try it. It's going to happen.
That's what John Malkovich is like. I'm here from the future. You guys are all we have the budget for. Yeah. You have to fight Doom alone.
I just came back from a meeting with Bob Iger, and they're not going to give us the money we asked for.
I'm on with the shareholders, and it's not going well.
It's not great. Agatha all along got a couple of Emmy nominations, but I don't know, man. Not enough people watching Disney Plus. Anyway, Michael Tillman says, I second and also ask Derek's question on a possible live show during the Super Bowl. What do you guys think? Live show during the Super Bowl this year?
Let's do it.
Nope.
Can we beat the Puppy Bowl?
No, it's a national holiday. That's reserved for nachos.
Not with these teams.
There's going
to
be
nachos and beer. And I'm not going to be sober enough to do a show.
I don't know, man. There's probably going to be a crypto-focused Superman trailer in the Puppy Bowl, apparently. And then they're going to be showing... Actually, this is a good topic of conversation for you guys. So apparently, they're going to be showing... Disney has bought a bunch of spots in the Super Bowl, but they're going to be showing two Marvel trailers. Not three Marvel trailers. What? They're going to be showing two. And this is Captain America Brave New World comes out on February 14th. Then there's Thunderbolts. Then there's Fantastic Four. Only two of those three movies are going to get trailers. Which ones are they going to show?
I mean, it has to be Thunderbolts and Cap.
You think?
Thunderbolts, for sure.
It's going to be like a very damning if it is like, here's Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts, and we're skipping past the movie that happens immediately after this enormous event. That would be bad.
You think that's the one they would leave out as Cap?
I don't know. I could see some sort of like, well, we're already marketing that anyway, so we don't need to additionally market it. Let's do this stuff down the road. And the Fantastic Four trailer obviously is new as of today, but... I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing. If it was going to be Fantastic Four, wouldn't they just debut the trailer at the Super Bowl?
They probably should have, yes.
So I think it has to be... They need to keep the juice flowing on Cap.
I agree.
It
would be crazy to me if they don't, just because of the basic, like... American nature of it at the Super Bowl and having, Star Spangled Banner playing while Harrison Ford Red Hulk's out. That seems like such a no brainer for selling this movie, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Derek says, everyone knows being a werewolf helps you play basketball. What sport does being a mummy or vampire or witch, etc., help you excel at?
They can turn into bats and fly. What sport would that help you in?
Baseball.
Wow. Alex taking the easy route?
I don't know. If they turned into bats?
Yeah. That's good.
Bats?
I got the dad joke. Yeah. Thank you.
What are you, a popsicle stick from 1990?
Is this thing on? Bats! Did you see what I did there? Oh, boy. I'm trying to think what a mummy would be good at.
Hey, there's a ghost just
walking. I got red light, green light. The mummy would be great at, but that's not really a sport.
Why would that be? Why would that be?
Because mummies can stand still pretty good, you know?
For their standing still ability? They're very slow.
Slow and stand still, yeah.
Squid Game, they're doing a lot of red light, green light.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like...
You know what a mummy would be good at is a rap battle.
Oh, my God, dude. I wish that if I was in the same room as you, dude. Oh, my God.
I want to just isolate Alex's box.
Stop it.
Let's play back Alex, like, thinking of that.
You got a circus behind you.
Yeah, believe me, I fucking know.
It's hilarious.
I know I live
just
in
to see little use walking by.
Mummy, maybe hockey.
Hmm.
get out there. A lot of padding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I just feel like they would be pretty brittle on the ice there. You know, get them up on skates.
Yeah. And I think we can all agree that a witch would be good at a spelling bee. No. Moving on to Schreinkler's question. Ooh. What music makes you think of comics?
Ooh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I hear the Iron Man song that was in the first Iron Man movie, I kind of think of...
You mean whether it says a comic name in the song?
Yeah.
I am Iron Man.
Yeah.
Nice.
The song they played at the end of the Fantastic Four trailer where they go, Fantastic Four! That made me think of the Fantastic Four.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like what music makes you think of specific comics is the better. Mm.
I really cannot think of a single song that makes me think of comics because I'm always doing those two activities separately. I don't want to listen to music while I'm reading comics.
Really, not at all. I'll throw on some tunes.
Some lo-fi beats, you know what I mean?
Smooth jazz.
The Zen Man saying Skiing for Mummies. Shouts to that. I think that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Just standing there. But I do think, I'm thinking of like maybe some,
what was that one?
Aggressive death metal. Maybe we're going to like a Jason Aaron Thor, like the Thor at the end of time with his daughters.
Well, there's definitely like... There are comics that make me think of music, but maybe not vice versa. I don't know. Schreinkler has a follow-up here. Audience statement. I'd like to try to unlock the secret quiz.
All right, Schreinks. Password, please.
He said the first part, right?
Great. While we're waiting for that.
I'll give him that. There we go. There's the hint right there. Right there. That's the hint.
No one can see that.
Should I isolate your camera, Pete, so people can see it?
Schreinkler, password Hulk Smash.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Thank you for playing. Please try again.
Ridiculous. Michael T. says, I personally prefer when the interior artist is drawing the cover of the book. How do you feel about the overwhelming amount of variants out there? And not to jump right on this, I have been thinking about this a lot, and I hate it. I feel a little conflicted because I appreciate the fact that so many people are getting work drawing variant covers. Yeah. That's great. I don't want to take away anybody's work. Variant covers, I think, are a con game. The comic book industry is not just playing on fans and stores, but on themselves, where they're like, great news. This comic sold 100,000 copies. Over the course of 19 covers, where two of them people needed to buy 50,000 copies each. Like, that's the sort of thing that they're playing with, and it doesn't lead to actually sales. It inflates the amount of sales for things, and it floods the zone for the comic book stores as well. It's confusing for customers, I think, when, like, whenever I take my son and we see these books where it's like, there's an Avengers cover, and then it's actually not Avengers, it's an X-Men book, for example. That's confusing. You should be making this less confusing rather than more confusing in the store. So I don't like variants. I don't think there should be that many of them. If they're going to do like a special sketch variant for something, like I get it at a convention being like, hey, we're putting out a blank cover on Absolute Batman number one so you can get Nick Dragotta to sign it or draw on it or something like that. Awesome. But when you're selling 10 copies of a cover to stores, doesn't work at all.
First off, stop yelling at me.
Yeah, holy shit, dude. What the fuck just happened? You just got up on a soapbox and started screaming at us.
Well, it's your guy's fault. You started this.
All right, do you want to go? Go ahead.
No, Jared Sloan, Pete is the cover expert on the show. Dubious. Let's hear what he's saying.
Well, I just feel like to give the other side to that, you know, when Marvel did those hip-hop variant covers, that was amazing. There have been some really fun. Scott Young did a bunch of covers. Great. A ton of fun. I disagree. I think, you know, artistically, you can do more with variant covers. And, yeah, the collection value drives it up. I mean, there is just like... I'm knee deep in variants, so I, you know, this is that's very upsetting what you said and with what I'm collecting. But I just think that I can understand what you're saying. Oh yeah, it's confusing. That makes sense. But artistically you can have some fun. And I think that, like, letting an artist do what they want and kind of bring their kind of style to something is unique and fun. And sometimes the it just kind of sets a nice tone for the comic. And I think as long as it matches what's on the inside and what's going on and doesn't kind of too much of a left kind of take, I think it's great.
You guys are all conservative, old fuddy-duddies when it comes to covers. Let the cover be what it wants to be. More is more. Let's get weird. I sort of agree with Pete, but he's not as far left on the cover take as I am.
As you would like.
But let me say, I'd like to take the secret variant cover quiz. Password, it's worth it for the art alone.
Let's see. Nat Towson says, if you had to cast the new FF movie with the three CBC hosts and a past comics guest, who would you each play? Feel free to cast Alicia and Annihilus too.
I think Nat wants us to say him. I think that's what
you think. You think that's true? Yeah, he's clearly Mr. Fantastic.
He is stretchy.
That's what I'm saying. I think he has a low level stretchy.
I mean, this is, what sucks is it's obvious. I'm the thing. You're the fucking fire starter. And Zelbin's the asshole.
Interesting that you want to be the thing when that's the one Jewish character, Pete. So that feels like a little bit
I'm sorry, but one of us is more brawny than the other.
Why are you?
So I can't believe you're taking a role from me.
I'm not taking a role.
You're taking a role.
You're
the one Jewish actor on the show.
Wait, you're an actor?
You consider yourself a Jewish actor.
You would say you're an actor?
In this scenario.
That's the part that threw me the most of this whole bit. Classically trained?
Sure.
He's coming for you, JT.
I'm just looking. You want to talk about
that's
past it. I'm past it.
We're each preparing a monologue. And we're going to... read them aloud.
Awesome. Let's do a monologue off. Yeah, let's do it. That would be I would love this.
I would love to. Dropping Alex's TV credits.
Oh boy, do I have TV credits? Ken Gordon says, what is your routine with reading through the stack every week? Do you read on a certain day or spread it out to a certain amount per week? Do you prefer traditional or digital copies?
Great question.
I prefer traditional, but digital is easier. So that's kind of what we deal with. I would like to spread it out more, but the problem is if it's been too long, I forget stuff. So I like to kind of start reading. I go like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday type of thing. It started off as a Monday it started off when we first started, we were getting the day of, so it would be like Tuesday. You know, and then kind of read them that day and then kind of talk about which ones we wanted to. Because there's only three. It was like three.
We were talking about last week's comics when we first started doing it on Tuesday night. So we would have the week to read them and then we would read each other's, whichever ones we
we would get to submit. Yeah. And then fight for our picks.
I think I said this before, but I usually try to read DC first for no particular reason other than
interesting.
They provide their copies differently, so I just like to do that, X out of that window, got that. So I usually read those on Saturday if I can, then Sunday I read everything else but Marvel, and then Monday I usually read Marvel. So that's kind of how it breaks up.
I read them all in a sort of a mishmash, jumping around just so that I can stay fresh.
Do you read them in order of the stack or are you just picking them how you pick them?
Never. I will jump around too. I'll read like, you know, three of the, non-Marvel DC books, jump over to DC for a little bit. Usually bang through all of Marvel's cause they're a little bit faster reads. I feel like,
oh, shots fired. What are you trying to say, bro?
I don't know what I'm trying to say. And, you know, I've come to like the digital copies just for ease. It's just absolute ease.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm always going to, by the very nature, prefer the physical copies because the experience of reading a physical copy,
so much more
I think,
enjoyable.
Yeah, it's more enjoyable. But in terms of, like Justin saying, the ease of reading a comic, and then particularly with two kids who need things a lot of the time, being able to like have multiple comics open in the middle of one of them and then getting up, going and doing something, come back. It's easier to keep track of that than like, I got this stack of paper I have to keep track of. So there you go.
Yeah.
Ooh, great question to end on here. Scotty D says, what is your Grail book?
I assume Scotty D. Like
Holy Grail. Like what's
what
the
Scotty D.
I don't know if he's saying in your collection or the one that you want to get desperately. I assume the latter, like the one that if you saw somewhere, you would grab it immediately
to buy a comic from the past.
Yes.
You want to pick up.
I mean, I have like, yeah, there's Eastman and Laird comics that if I see, I will definitely get no matter how many issues of it all I own. But also like there's certain like, you know, my favorite Hulk book, I would definitely get no question. So yeah, I think there's like certain ones that if I see, it's like, oh crap, I have to get this.
I mean, the first thought that came to mind, and this may be monstrous, but I would love to have a copy of Eastman and Laird's TMNT number one that I could roll up and put in my back pocket and then bump into Pete somewhere, because I think it might actually kill
him. Dude.
Yeah, I think it would die. I think Pete would turn white and pass.
Yeah, it would be the worst. I'd be like, oh my God, Justin, I haven't seen you. And then you'd just be like, I'll be like, what is that?
I feel like that's that scene in the movie where it cuts to the wide and the Pete character has just stabbed a knife into Justin's neck without even thinking about it. It was like, whoops.
We both looked down. We're like, what? Yeah.
What just happened here?
What happens?
This is, I tend to like not go through back catalog stuff too much just because I have way too many print comics as it is.
Yeah.
Like I like looking at them, but there's nothing that I'm actively looking for. But I will say when Nat finally got us to go to that warehouse over here in Brooklyn, they had this copy of Havoc and Wolverine Meltdown, the graphic novel that was signed by Louise Simonson and Walt Simonson.
Wow.
And that was, I don't own it anymore. That was one of like the series that I owned back in the day, like one of the first adult series that I got. And so the second I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, I need to get this. All right. So yeah, that wasn't something that I was necessarily looking for in the Grail way, but definitely that like sparked something in me in terms of I have to buy this thing.
I would choose a comic and then drink out of it, and then my face would melt and my eyeballs would come out of my mouth.
Yeah, oh, because you chose
that would happen.
I chose poorly. I would have chosen poorly in this scenario.
That's what happens when you trash comics.
Well, hopefully
you die a horrible Nazi death.
Choose poorly in our next section, which is my least favorite section because Pete makes it up. It is trivia.
Hey! Wow. I think that's the first time you honestly shared with us what you thought about trivia.
That's,
really?
Nope.
Definitely.
Nope.
About
that's
time.
Not true. That's
oh,
not
wow.
True
we have
though.
A crazy quick hand up here from
the Zen Man coming at us from Twitch.
Over on Twitch. All you want right. to explain it anyway, Pete?
Yeah, I would love to. You win $25 to Midtown Comics online, because if you had $25, you'd go to a comic book shop. I mean, come on.
Come on.
Today's trivia is about the current Birds of Prey run, and a small nod to the legend David Lynch, R.I.P.
Wow.
All right, here we go. Please,
what a horrible thing are you going to call that, Pete?
Please listen all three options before making your selection. I like how nervous Justin got here. Okay, here we go. Question number two. Number one.
Question number two. One.
Number
already,
two. Number
already
one.
Going well.
Already
going well.
I'm already lit it up. Rest in
no,
peace.
It's Lynchian,
Yeah, exactly. All right. What is the name of the amazing writer on Birds of Prey? And I said currently. So is it A, Kelly Thompson, B, hey, you can't just throw things anywhere. C, John Huck.
Uh-huh. Scotty Doo says, let's go. Scotty Doo, come back next time and you can do the quiz.
A? Is it A?
A is correct, yes. Kelly Thompson is the writer.
Great stuff.
And she is amazing. All right, here we go. Question number two, as previously mentioned, who are Barda and the crew teaming up with to help with a demon problem? Is it A, John Constantine? B, oh, hey, Mikey, be careful. Don't get horsed. C, Michael Horse.
Don't get horsed. Very
yeah,
tight.
Get horsed.
Tight, yeah, speaking of our, it's not Slack anymore. It's what you call it. Yes, A is correct.
John Constantine. Nice. There
yeah,
go.
Question number three. Here we go. Last one. Not only is this comic well written and a ton of fun, but the blank is also amazing. Or some might say super tight penance. Is it A, the art? B, oh my God, what a delicious chili. Love the smell. C, smoky Hormel.
I love the smell. Derek Mainhart. Better Zen Man.
Yeah, Zen Man. 3 for 3. Congratulations.
Wow. Man. Congratulations, Zen Man. You have won a gift card to Midtown Comics. Shoot us an email and we will get that to you. And Pete, what is the secret David Lynch movie?
Of course, we're talking about the 1992 drama Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me.
Fire Walk
okay.
With Me.
There we go.
Yeah. Nice.
Was he in that also?
Oh, yeah, he was. Come on, man. Yeah.
He's great. His acting in the throughout the Twin Peaks series was very
good. Set a fun tone.
Cool. Yes. Better Derek Mainhart, better Lynch, David or Jane?
Ooh, that's two different flavors.
Different
you know
speeds.
What I mean?
Yeah. I got to go with
both
David
great.
Lynch, but I got to shout out Jane Lynch. I was in my voice was in a Comcast commercial that she was the star of.
Wow.
That's cool. I remember you talking about that.
As we all know, new comic books are coming out tomorrow, probably depending on shipping schedules and other things. What are you guys looking forward to that may or may not be in comic book shops? I just say that because I don't know if you guys have been going to physical comic shops, but at my local shop every week, they're like, don't have that. Don't have that. No Marvel came in. No DC this week. They are shops are hurting right now. But we're not. We're feeling great. What are you looking forward to, Pete?
Well, I don't like that change there. I'm looking forward to Birds of Prey number 18. Also, Batman Offworld number 6 and Batgirl number 4.
Hmm. Justin, what about you?
Nice stuff. I'm looking forward to When I Lay My Vengeance Upon Thee number 2 from Boom.
Yeah.
We read the first issue last month, and it's a wild sort of exorcism, demonic-based story that I thought the art was creepy in a good way, and I'm looking forward to seeing where that's going next. And then I would also like to shout out, I can't believe you, Pete, didn't shout out Power Man Timeless number 1 coming out.
It's great.
But I got to shout out The Ultimates number 9 by our guy Dennis Camp. I've just been loving this run. It really feels like there's such a mission statement that Dennis Camp is putting out there with this book, and that is so refreshing in the Ultimates universe.
You gotta check out this character called Batman. He has a bunch of books coming out tomorrow, but the one that I'm really interested in, The Batman. Batman Offworld number 6 from Jason Aaron and Doug Mankey. I think the last issue came out August or something like that. It's been a while. Yeah, been a while,
been
but
a
it's
minute.
Finally finishing up, so that's pretty exciting. Also, probably not the right time for it, but I have really been liking the series The Exorcism at 1600 Penn. That has a new issue tomorrow about an exorcism happening at the White House. Maybe that could happen in real life. I don't know. And Snot Girl from Image Comics, Brian Lee O'Malley and Leslie Hung. Really like the last two issues of it. So excited to see if they keep
it's
it up.
It's taking a weird... It was like, wow, this book is great again. And then that last issue, I was like, what is happening here? So I agree. I'm curious.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm interested. And that's the point of this section of the show.
The Zen Man says, everybody visibly relaxed once Pete made the reveal that it was, in fact, Twin Peaks. So that was a funny thing. It's true. We believe in you. Other people shouting out Legacy of Vader number 1 from Jared Sloan. Derek Mainhart, Absolute Superman number 4.
Good picks. And folks, that is it for this week's show. A couple of people we want to thank. One person we want to thank, Brian Hawkins,
yeah,
for coming out to the show to talk about Mad Cave Studios Blocked. You can check that out in stores now. Next week on the show, Brianna Lowen's son is going to be here to talk about Raised by Ghosts. And Tom Snigowski is going to be back on the show to talk about Herculoids from Dynamite. Comic Book Club News, our daily news podcast. You can check that out Monday through Friday. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast. We've got episodes on Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man and What If Season 3. Much belated, but that is up in the feeds now. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and all the shows we do. You can subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Yeah! Good night!
Sit on crappy couches and they let the secrets leak. And occasionally they let that special guest speak. So grab your grim hammer and don't be late for it, cause their girlfriends can barely tolerate it. Comic book club, comic book club, comic book club, comic book
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.